Hello, I'm Sam Fuqua. Ahead on the program this morning, after hearing reports last night of a perceived increase in crime on the Pearl Street Mall, Boulder City Council will ask for a full report from the police chief later this month. More on that coming up. We'll have our regular Wednesday morning features, Make Them Hear You, commentary on opportunities for citizen engagement. Also, Naturally, with herbalist Brigitte Mars, BBC headlines and commentary from Jim Hightower, again at the bottom of the hour. Then a panel discussion on racial bias and exclusion suffered by black people in Boulder. That's an hour-long program, takes you till 9:30, and our day of music on the Morning Sound Alternative. All that still ahead on listener-supported community radio. We begin with headlines from Jamie Sudler.
Officials in Colorado are expecting the weekly supply of COVID-19 vaccines to increase significantly by next month. The state's weekly vaccine allotment will grow from about 260,000 doses next week to just over 400,000 doses in early April. The state will get its first doses of the single-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine this week, but there will be a drop-off in shipments of that vaccine due to production hurdles. During a media briefing yesterday, Governor Jared Polis said that they are excited to add that vaccine to the arsenal of weapons that will allow the state to defeat the deadly virus. The governor said that he is confident that summer will be very close to normal based on the predictions of vaccine supply and that people who want the vaccine will be able to get it in April and May. The state will move to the next phase of its vaccination rollout on Friday. Coloradans aged 60 to 64 and people with two or more chronic health conditions, after the state hit its goal of inoculating 70% of those over 70 by the end of last month. Following the good news about more vaccines on their way to Colorado, Boulder City Council got a local update from the county's public health department last night. In his final presentation to council prior to retirement, Executive Director Jeff Zayek announced that there were fewer deaths in February than in previous months, and an 84% decrease in deaths in long-term care facilities. But Zayek spent most of his presentation emphasizing the ramp-up in vaccine availability.
We have capacity now for 20 to 25,000 vaccines per week. We're still getting only around 7 to 8,000. And we are building capacity to closer to 35,000 per week. So there's been a lot of work that's been happening with the anticipation that we are going to be receiving a significant amount more vaccine towards the end of March and the early part of April.
Zayek said almost 60,000 Boulder County residents have received the vaccine, including 84% of those 70 and older, while half of those ages 65 to 69 have had at least one dose. Indira Gugral, who with the health department, said there remains a wide gap in the percentage of white residents who have received the vaccine compared to those who are Latinx and Asian, despite the county's equity strategy to eliminate vaccination disparity. She also cited a survey that addressed vaccine gender issues, saying there is a trust factor based on concerns and rumors.
We knew that the willingness to be vaccinated varied by race, ethnicity, and gender. And women in particular are less likely to have trust in the vaccine as compared to men. And we see this with African Americans and the Latinx community, where some of it is almost down to 50%. And Out Boulder provided a similar survey that they did locally, and their LGBT survey did show very similar results with this same kind of gender variation.
Friday, March 5th is the one-year anniversary of the first confirmed COVID-19 case in Colorado. Boulder Mayor Sam Weaver announced that in an effort to acknowledge what he called the community's collective grief, Boulder will light up both the municipal building and the Boulder Bandshell at Canyon and Broadway, as well as other city buildings, including police and fire stations. Democrats in the state legislature are taking another run at passing a bill that would include a public health option insurance plan. The goal, according to the bill's sponsor, Democrat Dylan Roberts of Avon, is to provide an affordable option for people who are uninsured or buying their own insurance on the marketplace. The Denver Post reports that this year's effort comes after the measure was dropped last year as the pandemic hit. The The new bill would create a standard plan that insurance companies could choose to offer through the Connect for Health Colorado marketplace for individuals, but no one would have to buy it. It's only a choice. The proposed measure is already attracting opposition from a nonprofit organization backed by private insurance companies. The Colorado Sun reports that the group has launched a barrage of advertising aimed at building public opposition to the public option. The organization is known as Partnership for America's Health Care Future and has made an ad buy at a cost of nearly $1 million for TV commercials in Denver, Grand Junction, and Colorado Springs. Senator Kerry Donovan, a Vail Democrat championing the public option, decried the big spending by opponents, saying that if they're spending $1 million, they must be protecting a profit much bigger than $1 million. Governor Jared Polis demanded again yesterday that Colorado utility customers not be stuck with the full cost of emergency fuel boosted by last month's frigid cold snap. The Colorado Sun reports that the problem includes Xcel Energy as well as other providers, which may try to pass on higher excess costs to gas and electric consumers. Polis, however, thinks the utility should have warned consumers.
I don't think utilities should approach the state and say, we want to charge consumers, when during the period in time, they weren't even out there notifying people, please cut back, turn off your lights, you know, decrease your temperature by 3 degrees, because that is a very simple, easy way to show that, yes, you can reduce usage. If after all that, every step you can within reason you've taken to reduce usage, if there are still costs because of short-term volatility, then it's a fair conversation about the proper allocation between shareholders and between customers.
In a letter to Polis, Xcel said it would cooperate with the Public Utilities Commission as it looks into surcharge requests expected from five different Colorado utilities. The Longmont City Council voted unanimously last night to approve an agreement with the St. Vrain Valley School District for assigning police school resource officers to high schools and middle schools during the 2020 and 2021 school year. The school district will pay the city almost $1 million as its portion of the costs of the program of officers' salaries, including two officers each for three high schools and one for each of the six middle schools. The Times Call reports that the council heard from police and other officials, and city staff wrote that the SRO program works to carefully select and specifically train a group of highly skilled, community-oriented officers to work in collaboration with the St. Vrain Valley School District, other city departments, and restorative justice. Boulder police are bracing for parties and gatherings as the St. Patrick's Day holiday approaches and CU students have returned to campus. The Daily Camera reports that police broke up a party on University Hill last Saturday on 14th Street. A social media post about the party shows a massive crowd at an apartment complex with no social distancing and little visible mask wearing. Police are still trying to identify the hosts of the party, but no citations have been issued yet, and it has not been confirmed that the hosts were CU students. The university released a statement in relation to the party saying that it is clear to students that it is required under the code of conduct that they follow county health directives. Police are anticipating having extra patrol units on the hill in anticipation of any spring or St. Patrick's Day parties. Today it will be mostly sunny with highs in the high 50s and low 60s. Tomorrow a chance of rain and snow showers with highs in the low 40s. Friday, sunny skies return with highs in the mid-50s. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
It's coming up on 13 minutes after 8 here at listener-supported KGNU. Boulder City Council wants a report from its police chief, ASAP. After hearing from several residents last night who believe an uptick in crime in the downtown area is making people afraid for their safety and driving tourists away from the Pearl Street Mall. KGNU's Roz Brown has more on last night's City Council meeting.
In the past year or so, we have seen our community trashed. Downtown parks, the creek, are littered with needles, feces, and garbage. Citizens gripe on Nextdoor that their homes were broken into again, and that their bikes were stolen from their garages again, and nothing is being done about it.
That's Barbara Apple, a local resident who brought her concerns to the virtual city council meeting about changes she's witnessed in crime since the onset of COVID-19.
As a teacher, I recently had to evacuate an RTD bus with 40 fourth graders because a man who appeared to be on meth rattled his pockets and said he had bullets in one pocket and a gun in the other. He proceeded to repeat that he was going to effing blow our heads off. At the new park outside of the library, we had to leave 5 minutes after our arrival when two of my students found two separate needles, one of which was covered with dry blood and still had drugs inside of it. It literally could have killed him. I know many people in Boulder that no longer will even go downtown at all, which, as a Boulder native, is a very sad statement. How are we allowing this to happen in our community?
And Apple was not the only lifelong Boulder resident who addressed council members last night.
Hi, I'm Connie Brenton. I was born and raised in Boulder, and I've owned Art Mart on the Pearl Street Mall for over 30 years. A year ago, we were burglarized. The police found the perpetrator in the building. He went to jail for 8 hours or so and then was released, even though being a self-professed sex offender. It is significantly worse now than it was a year ago. We were burglarized again. My staff, who are primarily young women attending Colorado University, have been both verbally and physically assaulted. They don't feel safe. They aren't safe. Pretty much all the merchants up and down the Pearl Street Mall have suffered the same experiences. Area businesses are closing at an alarming rate. We will lose our tourists next. The city council must address the crime and public safety in our community now. Failure to act thus far has nearly destroyed the Pearl Street Mall and areas in Boulder. We can't afford to keep looking the other way.
At a recent meeting, Boulder Police Chief Maris Harrell told City Council that since the pandemic took hold, crime has skyrocketed. Harrell reported that motor vehicle thefts and thefts from autos are up in Boulder and across Boulder County. Burglaries in Boulder have increased, calls about domestic violence and child abuse are up, and assaults have escalated compared to other violent crimes. Boulder resident Brian Travis shared his story.
My name is Brian, and I live in the downtown Whittier neighborhood, where crime has been pretty out of control recently. Last Tuesday night, we had police all over our neighborhood looking for a man with a machete. We have an addiction and a violent crime problem among a small subset of the unhoused, which unfortunately our housing first policies don't address. So as we debate a broader strategy, I beg you, please focus on efforts to get violent, repeat criminal offenders off the streets.
Chief Harrell also told council in January that police have received hundreds of complaints about homeless encampments. That led council to plan a late April meeting to further discuss encampments, their cleanup, and the enforcement of ordinances. But Councilman Adam Swetlick wants to make sure the issue of homelessness and crime are addressed separately.
One point of distinction, though, I think it's important we not conflate our meeting about people experiencing homelessness with an update about crime specifically, just because I think they're separate issues. And it's my understanding, at least anecdotally, that positive activity often offsets negative criminal activity. So the faster we can get to a sort of normalcy where people are vaccinated and can go out again and go downtown, we should see a corresponding decrease in this type of activity.
At the close of the discussion, it was clear that council members, including Mark Wallach, are alarmed by what they're hearing.
A couple of days ago, I was in correspondence with some of the restaurant owners on the mall. They are apoplectic. And more importantly, they are rightfully apoplectic as to the conditions in which they're trying to operate their businesses. They have gone to great lengths to survive COVID, and now they're in danger of being put out of business because their staff isn't safe, their customers don't feel safe, and people are not going to want to frequent restaurants in an unsafe area.
Council members suggested Police Chief Harrell would be asked to address the issue at a meeting on March 16th. For KGNU, I'm Roz Brown.
18 minutes after 8 now, this is listener-supported community radio.
Tune in to A Public Affair, Monday, March 8th at 8:35 a.m. for an interview with Boulder author Sue Brightman about her new book, A Call to Further Becoming, The New Declaration from Women Over 50. The book is based on 100 interviews with women ages 50 to 70 and beyond about becoming more of who they really are and what they're called to do. That's A Public Affair, Monday, March 8th at 8:35 a.m.
Up next on The Morning Magazine, one of our regular Wednesday features, it's Make Them Hear You.
Make them hear you. Make them hear you.
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your voice heard before Congress. Just weeks into Joe Biden's presidency, it is clear that he faces major obstacles in pursuing his agenda. The Senate cloture rule, which requires 60 votes to cut off debate on most measures, is a high hurdle. Democrats' Senate majority rests on the tie-breaking vote of Vice President Kamala Harris, and even the process of organizing the Senate's committees has been bogged down with a debate over the filibuster issue. Democrats have controlled the presidency and both houses of Congress for only 4 of the last 28 years, so, as Robert Reich says, this is a tiny window of opportunity. The filibuster was not part of the founders' original vision of the Senate, but today Senate rules require just a simple majority to actually pass a bill, but several procedural steps along the way require a supermajority of 60 votes to end debate on bills. If fewer than 60 senators, a supermajority of the chamber, support cloture, that's when we often say a measure has been filibustered. Exceptions include nominations to executive branch positions and federal judgeships on which only a simple majority is required to end debate. And the budget reconciliation process allows a simple majority to adopt certain bills addressing entitlement spending and revenue provisions, thereby prohibiting a filibuster. One way to ban the filibuster would be to create a new Senate precedent, which can be created by a senator raising a point of order. If the presiding officer, typically a member of the Senate, agrees, that ruling establishes a new precedent. The Senate could also move to weaken the filibuster without eliminating it entirely. A Senate majority could ban filibusters on particular motions, but otherwise leave the 60-vote rule intact. Senators from both parties have worried that when they become the minority party in the future, they would no longer be able to slow down the legislative process directed by the majority party. But Robert Reich is spearheading a movement to eliminate the filibuster entirely. For starters, without the filibuster, we could see a number of laws enacted which enjoy strong support by a large majority of Americans, including Republicans and independents, like the COVID relief bill, a hike in the minimum wage, a ban on assault weapons, voting rights legislation, and much more. Robert Reich and others warn us that the clock is ticking. In 2 years, voters will be answering a different version of the question Ronald Reagan once immortalized. Is your life better now than it was 2 years ago? Within 18 months, if the answer for most Americans is not yes, the Republicans will very likely take back the Senate and perhaps the House in 2022, as often happens during the midterms. If you have thoughts on eliminating the filibuster, you can contact Senator Chuck Schumer, as well as Colorado Senators John Hickenlooper and Michael Bennett. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
Make them hear you. Make them hear you. And tell them
Make Them Hear You, a regular feature of Wednesdays here on the magazine. It's listener-supported KGNU.
This is the number we always play when people ask us to play more, because we know that after we play this, they couldn't possibly ever want to hear us again.
Frank Zappa was a unique American artist. Join us on the Wednesday afternoon Sound Alternative, March 10th, when we focus on Zappa's compositions and on his incredible work as an electric guitar player. Paul Epstein from Twist and Shout will bring you rarities, live cuts, and other special treats from his Zappa archive. It's a Frank Zappa special, Wednesday, March 10th from noon to 3 on the Afternoon Sound Alternative, right here at listener-supported KGNU. Lots of great special programming coming up next week for our spring membership drive. Stay tuned next for Naturally with Brigitte Mars.
Creating Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars to share a few ideas on staying warm when the weather is cold. Well, this is certainly a time of year to enjoy more warming beverages like hot teas and hot soups rather than icy cold things. Salads are great when the weather's cool, but right now you might want to think about soups, and if they have some warming spices in them, like ginger, garlic, onions, cayenne pepper, oregano, all those things are going to improve peripheral circulation and help you to feel warmer. Eating root vegetables can be another way to warm us up. Things like sweet potatoes and rutabaga and carrots and burdock root. So we can also enjoy foods. Many of them are going to have orange and red color, which are warming colors in the color spectrum. So again, sweet potatoes and carrots, winter squashes. And we know that garlic is a bronchodilator and helps to improve peripheral circulation. And even though I said eat more soups at this time of the year, raw garlic is going to be more medicinal and more bronchodilating. You might even find that when it's really cold, Indian food or Thai food and making it a little more on the hot side is going to warm your body. I love hot baths at the end of a long day, but if you have access to a sauna bath, that's a great way to warm up. Now, this might sound a little intense, but if we were to shower and then end our shower with cool water, what's happening is when we shower with the hot water, our blood comes more to the surface. And then when we turn the hot water off and are under the cool water for a few moments, our blood is forced to go deeper internally. This is not only an ancient naturopathic technique for helping to warm us up, but it also causes a forced circulation and can help us to feel more resilient when the weather's really cold. You know, psychologically, wearing warming colors can make us feel warmer. So this might be the time of the year to wear that long red long johns or red undershirt. Dressing in layers is certainly a good idea. So wearing tights and undershirts and long johns and things like that, and layer upon layer, can help us to feel warmer. And rather than just saying over and over, I'm so cold, we might even visualize breathing in warming colors. Certainly herbal teas, like the herbs that are in chai, cinnamon, ginger, black pepper, cardamom, even oregano are all very warming. So I hope you stay warm and cozy and be grateful if you do have warmth, because not everyone in the world does. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
Naturally with Brigitte Mars, heard every Wednesday morning here on the magazine. A little bit easier to stay warm for the next few days. Temperatures forecast to reach about 60 today and tomorrow, and according to the forecast, on into the weekend, with cooler weather returning midweek next week. But again, sunny today with a high near 60 degrees on the Front Range of Colorado. Stay with us in just a few minutes. We'll have a panel discussion on racism in Boulder and the exclusion suffered by Black people in Boulder. That's coming your way after BBC headlines and commentary from Jim Hightower. Thanks for choosing listener-supported KGNU this morning.